Hello and welcome to another edition here of Three Fine Legs. As usual, I'm Nikesh Raghani, but the other two fine legs are unfortunately unavailable for selection this week. So I've been in my phone book. I've been looking up some wonderful people that I might be able to call upon as suitable replacements. They were all unavailable. So I've had to go with a silly mid-on this week. I'm only joking. Joining us is Atif Nawaz. The reason I say silly mid-on is because he's, of course, a stand-up comedian and a BBC cricket broadcaster as well. A man of many talents and a wonderful guest here to have on the show. Welcome to Three Fine Legs, Atif. Let's kick off. We've had 1 week of the IPL so far. We talked about it last week. We previewed the tournament. Ankur, Abhishek and myself had lots of different predictions. A lot of them have gone out the window. It's been quite unpredictable. We've seen a lot of close matches in the first week, some really good individual performances as well. It's early days, but it's looking quite tight in terms of the points table as well. Give us your overall take on the first week.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that I've got two fine legs myself, so I think I'm doing a good job making up for the two missing guys. But yeah, it's been a really crazy IPL so far. Like, I mean, it's been really, I don't think anybody could have seen much of this coming. It's been quite evenly balanced, really, only the Bangalore team winning two games. I will say that I know you guys made a bunch of predictions, but I feel like my one prediction is still very much in play, which I made to Abhishek Jhunjhunwala, so he can confirm that I made this prediction, and that was that Harshal Patel will be the top wicket taker in this edition of the IPL. It's very, he got five in his first game, he got two in his second game, looking good at the moment.
Good shout. Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, so what made you say that? Was it just his performances last season that kind of you thought he had something about him? Or just a wild, random guess?
I'm going to be very honest. I didn't make that prediction after he took his five wickets in the first game. But even okay, then,
right.
It's still bold. It's still bold because, you know, it's only one game. But he finished so strongly. I think if he keeps bowling that 20th over, this is the recurring thing as well in this particular IPL. Like, you know, we saw those last few overs in general, particularly in the UAE, and on those pitches get dispatched, and you know you're always expecting sort of at least 50 runs from your last five overs. But in this edition, it's been a very different ball game. The bowlers are unbelievably canny. The seam bowlers, in particular, they're getting value for really hitting the pitch hard, and you know bowling hard lengths. Particularly in the Chennai, and again we've got two different sets of pitches. We've got Chennai, you've got Mumbai. And you know the rule of thumb sort of, and it's not always been the case, but sort of that Mumbai is the slightly easier deck to bat on. But even there, it's been very unpredictable. Teams chasing, teams defending. Like, I think, you know, there's nothing about this that's at all formulaic aside from the entertainment.
I think the one outstanding feature of this season's IPL so far is teams being able to either defend or almost defend these low totals. We see it so often, don't we, in the IPL in the last sort of 5, 6, 7, 8 years even, teams preferring to chase. The chase is always easier. You've got the dew factor on most of the grounds, which helps the ball come onto the bat. It's a lot easier in that second innings. But we've seen the Mumbai Indians, they took the first game really close against RCB down to the last ball, having made just 159 batting first. They defended 152. We saw, you know, the Delhi Capitals almost defend 147 as well. We've seen some close games where there have been low scores, and that's not always something you associate with the IPL, is it?
No, it's not. It is incredible that there's been so many low scores as well. It just speaks to the bowling and the strategy. Like, the IPL is more analytical than any other league, I imagine, in the world. I don't know this. I'm just guessing. Based on the number of people that are on the payroll, the amount of money that's in play, they really go through these individual matchups. Which bowler to bring on at what time? You know, if you've got Rishabh Pant in the middle, who do we want bowling to him? If you've got Maxwell in the middle, who do we want bowling to him? Like, people have thought these things through to make sure they can give themselves the maximum chance to minimize the runs at the end of the innings. It's been really impressive generally from the bowlers. We've seen people, you know, take those big clumps of wickets. In previous IPLs, it was unusual to see bowlers to take more than three, four wickets. But that's already happened only seven games into this tournament. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's the bowling that's really upped their game, and not just sort of you know, your world-beating bowlers, not just your Pat Cummins and, you know, your Jasprit Bumrahs and people like that. It's also that kind of second string bowlers as well. You know, your Singh for Punjab Kings, your Harshal Patel, obviously. So, you know, these bowlers that you don't necessarily expect massive amounts from are really delivering the goods at the end as well, in an unpredictable position. So I think it's really the tactics have really backed the bowlers and put them in a scenario where they can be more effective than in previous editions.
You mentioned there Harshal Patel, obviously one of the standout individual performances with that fifer of this season so far. We've seen some other wonderful ones, haven't we? Sanju Samson with his 100, of course, KL Rahul with the 91 in that Punjab Kings total of 221 the other night as well. Rahul Jaheer as well, you know, winning the game for the Mumbai Indians, really, with that spell of 4 for 27 in their second game. Andre Russell in the same game, playing for KKR, 5 for 15 in two overs, the fastest fifer in the history of the IPL. His best figures in T20 international T20 cricket, rather, as well. We've seen some little cameos. Deepak Hooda hitting a few heavy balls at the end when KL Rahul made that 91 for the Punjab Kings against Chennai. Moeen Ali with a little cameo, 36. Sam Curran taking his brother to absolute, downtown, really, with that 34 from 15. And Suresh Raina in the same match, 54 from 36. So a few cameos, a few, you know, fifers. We've seen 100. Who's your standout performer or performance? Which performance stands out for you the most? Was it the 100 from Sanju Samson? I know you're a bit of a fan of the man from Kerala.
I do like Sanju Samson a lot, and that was an incredible knock, that 119. I think it was something like 7 sixes. It was extraordinary. But for me, I think it's actually... I think Nitesh Rana has been the most impressive player for me because, you know, he's in this opening partnership with Shubman Gill, and the attention, the focus is always on Shubman Gill. You know, Shubman Gill is the man. He's the guy who's going to come through, and he's the guy who's playing for India, who's played for India and all this other stuff, right? There's a lot of focus on him. But Nitesh Rana very quietly in that first game for Kolkata got 80 from 56 balls. And in his second game, he got 57 from, you know, nearly just over a run a ball. And that was kind of valuable in that game as well. So, I mean, I think at the top of the order, to have that level of consistency, only two games I know, but he's already hit 250. That level of consistency is pretty good. If I could just split it a little bit, maybe I'd go Andre Russell as well. You know, he got the other fifer. Talked about Harshal's fifer, and that was all very well and good. But Andre Russell also has a fifer. And he managed to get his fifer in two overs. You know, I don't think that's ever happened before. I don't know if a bowler in T20 cricket has got a 5-wicket haul in two overs. It might have done, but nothing that springs to mind. So,
the Leicestershire Evening League seniors or something like that. But I don't think it's ever been done on the top stage. Certainly never in the history of the IPL. That's the fastest fifer officially. But he was on the losing side, though. I would argue maybe in the same game, Rahul Jaheer's 4 for 27 was more important. He did it at a crucial time of the innings. Andre Russell did it right towards the death. Yes, when Mumbai were looking to set a decent total and they were unable to really get to that total they would have hoped for around the 170 mark, they got stuck on 152. So yes, he had a bit of an impact on that. But in terms of a match-winning performance, you know, you've got the total on the board, 152. What do you do now? Over to you, Mumbai Indians bowlers. And Rahul Jaheer was really, he played a lone hand for most of that innings with that 4 for 27, bowling in the middle of that innings when things were looking quite comfortable. There were 70 for one, the KKR. They were absolutely cruising in that game. And then they just completely fell to pieces. So I'd argue that his performance was probably more outstanding because it was a match-winning one.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. You know, it's so difficult for these players as well because they're playing under this intense pressure, and you know, everybody knows about all of their price tags. I think this is one of the reason that the kind of the second tier of players. I mean that with the greatest of respect. Like, I don't mean that any player is less talented, but there's certain players who've been played a lot of international cricket who have more star status, are making more money. Right, you expect to see them at the top of the stats every time. like, you know, you take a player like Arvish Khan, for example, right, for Delhi Capitals, you know, he's been so impressive. Like, if you said to me before the tournament, which bowlers do you think are going to be most impressive? Arvish Khan wasn't on my radar. He wasn't in my top 10. And he's managed to play two games for the Delhi Capitals already, you know, ahead of like some serious options that they have. And taken, I think, 2 in one match and 3 in the other. He's got wickets at the top. He's been relatively economical for that power play overs. Like, you know, these bowlers have come out of nowhere. It just kind of speaks to the pressure that these players play under. They're very aware. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about Chris Morris at some point. He played a stunning knock in the 7th game of the IPL to win his team. But, you know, it's the bowling that they're paying him for. And, you know, the two matches he's played so far, he hasn't really, you know, like, you, if you looked at his stats, you wouldn't think, yeah, that's worth 2.3 million or whatever it is. You know, but so this is it. I think the pressure of the tournament is quite prevalent this year, and it gives a chance for that kind of second tier of talent to showcase itself.
Yeah, and you mentioned there Chris Morris, most expensive player in IPL history. I suppose Rajasthan wouldn't mind too much at this stage, you know, with his bowling. They'll hope that comes good for the rest of the tournament, of course, but he's won him a game with the bat. You know, that's a win on the board for them, and so far proving to be value for money, at least with bat in hand. But yeah, Arvish Khan, you mentioned there. Jaydev Unadkat as well, with his 3 for 15 against the Delhi Capitals. A wonderful performer. He's been consistently on the Indian domestic circuit and in the IPL over the last few years. You know, Atif, growing up, I know you were a budding cricketer like myself. You would have dreamt of playing for England or maybe in Pakistan through, you know, your family heritage as well. Nowadays, growing up in India, for these youngsters in India, there are a lot of them who might just want to aspire to play in the IPL. You know, India would be a bonus, perhaps. You know, everybody would love to play for their country, of course, on the biggest stage. But playing in the IPL, I mean, you've got pretty much a billion eyes on you every week, every game that you play in. There's a massive TV audience in India. There's so much interest in the IPL. The whole country, you know, even in normal non-COVID times, comes to an absolute standstill when IPL matches are on. The film industry is cancelled. No Bollywood films are released during the period of the IPL. It is all about that competition. There is that real aspiration now. I want to be an IPL cricketer, isn't there? There's a massive gear change in terms of what you want to do if you're a budding cricketer at the age of, what, 11, 12, 13?
I was going to say, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, there are a lot of eyes on, like, it's everything does come to a standstill. Like, even Shah Rukh Khan is playing cricket now. And it's not that Shah Rukh Khan, I know, but he plays for Shah Rukh Khan's team, which makes it a little bit confusing.
He was named by his parents after the Bollywood actor Shah Rukh Khan. That's the reason he carries that name.
That's incredible. I mean, it's just one of those things that makes you smile about the IPL, you know. It's really quite extraordinary how the IPL has marketed itself at casual fans as well. So it's not just a case of hardcore cricket fans. They're going to watch anyway. And this is something I really hope the 100 in England learns from this season as well. You know, how to get the casual audience interested without having to change too many things. You know, like, you know, in England, they're talking about changing terminology, they're changing rules, changing this, changing that, to try and make things more accessible. I mean, India didn't change too much with the IPL. You know, they made it glitzy and glamoury, but the you know, they got the celebrities in, but the cricket was still the cricket. Yep, they introduced a few commercial elements, strategic timeouts, things like that. But they actually, you know, as much as sort of broadcasters, and I'll hold my hand up, I've moaned about strategic timeouts before, but I understand their value to the game, and certainly not just their commercial value, but the tactical value to the side. So the IPL has done so well in marketing itself, in attracting the best talent that's going to connect with the most casual fans, in addition to hardcore cricket fans. And the proof is in the pudding, Nikesh. We're talking about it now. We've been on two different shows, on two different channels in the last 24 hours. Three different shows in the last 24 hours in 2 days. And it just shows how many people are interested in the IPL, how much content they want to absorb about the IPL, how much they want supplementary reading and information about the IPL. So, I mean, it's an extraordinary league, and you understand why it has that allure. But yeah, I genuinely think, I think most players, young players in India, when they pick up that bat, I think they're still looking at Virat Kohli. You know, when they picture him, they don't picture him in the RCB top. They definitely picture him in the India top. You know, so I think the national aspirations probably still pip that for the time being. But I reckon, you know, those middling cricketers, and I mean this with the greatest of respect, the cricketers that aren't necessarily world beaters but have a good utility effect, right? They're looking at the IPL thinking, this could change, this is the place that could change my life. So, you know, it's huge, it's massive, it's entertaining. I'm loving it. We're only 7 days in.
I just want to pick up the rule changes there. We've talked quite a bit about the IPL. Let's have a slight gear change now and look ahead to the 100. I've noticed... for those watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see Atif sporting the London Spirit baseball cap on his head rather beautifully. It's a very nice cap, actually, there. I'm sure you're one of the first in the queue to get your order in online when they became available. You've nailed your colours to the mast already. That's going to be your team when the 100 takes place. Let's talk about, not the rule changes, sorry, the terminology changes that are going to be coming in with the 100. We've heard it a lot in the news. Wickets will be now called outs. There's you know, proposals about one or two other things as well. You know, batsmen will become batters, which obviously makes it more gender neutral, and that's more of an understandable terminology change. Third man won't be third man, it will just be third, which again, same sort of thing. That's more understandable. Outs, wickets, where do you stand on that one?
I don't mind it as much as a lot of people do. I mean, I know there was a lot of outrage when that when that was announced, right? But I personally, I don't mind it too much, Nikesh, to be honest with you. It's not the end of the world. It'll be a bit tricky for broadcasters initially, especially, you know, people like yourself and myself will be coming off the IPL, will hopefully be commentating on some kind of test cricket this summer, to move from commentary, just get your terminology right and make sure you're saying outs instead of wickets. But I genuinely think it's not that much of a negative thing for cricket. If somebody's done some research and discovered that this tournament has a better chance on the basis of outs, here's the thing that everybody forgets, right? Cricket fans, hardcore cricket fans, will watch anyway. You could call it outs, you could call it clowns, you could call it Nissan Micras, we'll still watch. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. You've already got us. It's like, you know, it's like wrestling fans will watch WrestleMania. It doesn't matter what the main event is. WrestleMania, wrestling is the draw. In this case, cricket is the draw. So if they feel like they have to make a few adjustments to encourage that casual fan to bring in that audience, they've got a very specific idea of the kind of audience they want with 100. I say go for it. You know, I say go for it. If another thing distinguishes it from the Vitality T20 Blast, from the you know, the Royal London Cup, and you know, all the other domestic tournaments in England, because there's going to be four of them now, I guess. Then yeah, I'm all for it, to be honest with you, Nikesh. It doesn't bother me that much. I don't understand personally what's different about wickets and outs and what makes it more accessible. If somebody who's done more research than me has decided that it has, fine, I'm cool with it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a more simplified way. If they're looking to attract a new audience, a younger audience, get more kids into the game who never would have watched any type of top level cricket before, may not have even played a great deal. You know, there is a bit of complication about some of the terminology used in cricket. I suppose out, you know, they've got six outs. It's more understandable. I know that if I was talking to, you know, some of my friends and family who aren't really into cricket, that would make more sense to them, I suppose. It's just going to take a lot of getting used to. As you say, from a broadcasting point of view, you know, you and I will hope to be in the commentary box for that tournament as well in some way, shape or form. And it's just going to take a bit of getting used to. We might have to have a laminated sheet next to our commentary position just to remind us of exactly what to say in what situation, because we're so used to it, aren't we? We've been covering cricket for years, we've been watching cricket for years, we've been listening to commentary since we were kids, and it's always been wickets, third man, batsman. I mean, you understand some of them. The outs to wickets is I suppose the biggest one. It's been the most debated in the last few days. But, you know, we've got to go with it. You know, there were all these ramblings when T20 cricket first came in England in 2003. Oh, it's not proper cricket. You know, it's an absolute circus and whatnot. And look at it now. You know, all these franchises around the world, all these big tournaments, the IPL, the PSL, the BBL, the CPL, the BPL, however many Premier Leagues and Super Leagues you want around the world, really, all, you know, cashing in on this. It's hugely popular. It's probably the most popular format of cricket currently. We'll have to see how the 100 goes in the next few years as well. So, you know, I'm sure as long as the cricket is good, nobody will really care in a year's time whether they call them outs, wickets, whatever it might be. So, yeah, those are my thoughts on it. But, you know, fingers crossed, the tournament all goes to plan. The weather's good, obviously. You know, there's that 1 month set aside for it in England. July and August will be the 2 months that it's played during. And, you know, it's technically the height of summer, but it's England, you never know. So hopefully the weather stays fair and we get to see some top level international players. Just looking briefly at the type of players who have signed up for it, what does that tell you about, you know, the way that other countries are buying into the concept? There have been some really big name signings, particularly in the women's format as well. When you look at Elise Perry signing up to play in the 100, Sarah Taylor coming out of retirement to come and play in the 100. These are some legendary players, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good to see them get that platform as well, because it's the first time really that women's cricket has been treated on parity with men's cricket. So, you know, we've seen loads of sort of double bills before. We've seen, you know, in the IPL, they do the Challenger, obviously, which is really good. You know, it used to be one game and now it's three games. Hopefully it'll be more in the future editions. So they keep slowly building that women's segment. But I think in England in particular, in, you know, New Zealand and Australia, there's, you know, there's a big push around women's cricket. So in England, it's almost like they take the responsibility of, we must be the first to do this. They're going to put it on complete parity. You know, every game is being treated equally. I can tell you that from people who are planning broadcasts and things like that. They expect every game. They've split right down the middle. And so it's really nice to see, you know, players who maybe haven't been seen by the masses before. I think, you know, people like you and I know who Elise Perry is. I'm sure a lot of Australian knows who Elise Perry is. I think actually she's a bad example because she's an extraordinary athlete. Yes. And everybody in the world knows, you know, most sports fans know who she is for her cricketing and footballing exploits internationally. Amazing. But also, you know, there's a whole bunch of players who've never played a game in front of cameras, players who've never had their game, you know, never been critiqued in detail on cricket websites or, you know, cricket publications or things like that. So it's really nice to see them get that platform. And again, you know, these are entertaining players. You know, Elise Perry is one of the more entertaining players in world cricket to watch. So I think it's great for, it bodes quite well for the tournament that they have, you know, these overseas players coming over. If I was nitpicking, I'd like to see one more overseas player in the teams, you know, really get that world talent in and let the squads learn from them, make it a bit more competitive. But, you know, for in terms of squad selection, make it competitive. But it is lined up to be excellent. I'm really keen to see how it goes down, you know, and how the public receive it. You know, it's for people who might be watching cricket for the first time. That's going to be their point blank view of cricket. Okay. So women's game and the men's game, they're very much on par.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of the talent, no Indian players involved in the first edition. No surprise, really. I mean, you kind of saw some of the comments coming out from the likes of Virat Kohli saying that he's not a big fan of, you know, a new format being introduced in the game. So once he speaks, I suppose, you know, none of the other players will be allowed to follow. The BCCI won't allow even some of the non-India contracted players to go and play in the tournament. There's a lot of politics around that sort of stuff. There are Pakistani players involved in it, which is great. Talking of India and Pakistani players, you know, we've been part of a podcast together on Wisden in 2020 last year during the first lockdown, where we were basically reliving our childhood for a large chunk of it and looking way beyond that into the past. The fantastic rivalry between India and Pakistan, some of the classic matches of all time, the great series, the great individual moments as well. And the thing that we concluded, yeah, we want to see more of this. We want to see more Indians and Pakistanis sharing a cricket field together at the very top level. We saw it in the IPL in 2008. Haven't seen it really since. I know Azhar Mahmood has been there since, but he's a British passport holder, so that made it easier for him to be able to go out there and do his thing. No Pakistanis in the IPL. If there was one man who every franchise owner in the IPL would want in their side, it would be Babar Azam, wouldn't it? I mean, he's doing his thing over in South Africa, racking up the runs, getting the victories under the belt for Pakistan, number one in the world ODI rankings at the moment, smashing everyone in the T20 format as well. He's sort of just hitting that peak form of his career now, where his stats are unbelievable. The fact that he's winning matches for his country as well. It'd be great to see somebody like him in the IPL, wouldn't it?
I mean, it would. It would be great to see. I've always said this. I think it'd be amazing to see Indian players at the PSL and Pakistani players at the IPL. And, you know, and also just Indian players playing around the world. Like, I sort of understand it, but I don't like that they're kind of being fishbowled a little bit, that they can't play outside of it, particularly players who are on the fringes. Like, you know, Harbhajan Singh is a tremendous comeback story, you know, at 40 years old, still playing. But there's a lot of 40-year-olds in Indian cricket who still have immense value to the game of cricket that might not get a start in the IPL. Like, they're not getting a chance to come and play in the CPL, in the BPL, the PSL, you know, in Australia, and there's leagues all over the world, as you say. So that's, you know, it's an opportunity for these players and their fans. You know, Indians don't just live in India. You know, I know India's got like a billion of them, but we've got like a million just where I live here in Northwest London. So, you know, there's Indians all over the world and they want to see their players. You know, as a Pakistan fan, like, it's great for me. We get to see Pakistani players every summer playing for various counties. We've got Mohammad Abbas over here. You know, historically we've had Wasim, Bakar, you know, Yunus Khan, Azhar Ali. So many players come over and play county cricket, not just like the short form, but, you know, county championship cricket. All of the stars, you know, Afridi, all these people have come here and played. And it just feels like, you know, like India's not served their overseas audience as well. And they've always thought about sort of protecting the IPL. Maybe that's part of its appeal. I don't know. But I would like to see them play more often. And certainly when it comes to India and Pakistan, from what I gather, the relations are thawing a little bit, you know, the hostilities are thawing. So we keep hearing about this mystery series they might play this year. I don't know when they're going to squeeze that in, but it all stemmed from that press conference where Virat Kohli was, you know, he just hinted at it. He's, you know, they said to him like, oh, you've got a schedule. And he said, I just hear that it's about to get busier. And then you heard that leaked press conference from Pakistan, where apparently a high level government official informed them that they need to get ready for a tour to India this year. So, I mean, I don't know if they meant the World T20. It could be anything. I would love to see, to come back to your point, sorry, Nick, I'm going around the world, but what I'd really like to see is Pakistanis play in the IPL. I think it would be wonderful. Though I will say that in the current climate where they can't, they've really found a way to maximize the upside of that. You know what I mean? Like, we saw, and you can see that in this South Africa-Pakistan series. South Africa lost 5 of their players to the IPL, right? And they look a much weaker team for it. The bench strength has come through, particularly with the batting, you know, people like Janeman Milan have come in and really stepped up, and you got to respect that. But they are without, you know, 5 of their best players. And, you know, Pakistan are there with their, pretty much their first choice team. And they're showing that gulf in class. And they did in the previous game as well. Under-delivered with the ball, conceded 203, chased it down without a problem, like one of the most convincing chases of a 200 plus score you've seen in T20 cricket. No slogging at all, like just controlled cricket shots, really tactful use of the smallish ground. Pakistan, okay, they can't play in the IPL right now. I think most people that approach the situation with any credibility would like to see them play in the IPL, but for now they're doing okay. Like, they've made the most of a difficult situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Great practice for them out in South Africa, of course. Leading the series, a chance to wrap up the series. This episode, of course, recorded just before the fourth T20 international takes place. So Pakistan with a chance to take an unassailable 3-1 lead away in South Africa. That would mean they'd won the ODI series and the T20 series over there, which would be a fabulous effort. We wish them well in that, of course. Atif, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for your time. Just quickly, where can people follow you on social media?
I'm just at Atif Nawaz, but with two A's, please. The guy with one A is getting a lot of followers, and I don't like it. He's got more than me now. So please, I'm Atif Nawaz with two A's and Atif. And yeah, definitely keep supporting Three Fine Legs. I've got so much love for Ankur, Nikesh, and Abhishek, three great guys. So you gotta keep watching the show. It's awesome.
Atif, thank you very much. And we'll be back with loads more for you next week. Thanks.